behind the screen. There's a world of pure imagination behind the screen.
Did you see Dave Dickerson tweeted that you did his mashup?
Oh, I didn't.
And then he said, they did my mashup on the Paul Goble show. It's right at the end. And then he said, a mashup is like a before and after, you know, like John Mayer McCheese. Or, and then he said something else that was like, oh, Dog the Bounty Hunter S. Thompson. And I just kept thinking, how do you do that? How would you do Dog the Bounty Hunter S. Thompson? That's too difficult.
Well, yeah, that would be one of those ones that if I thought of it, I would go, well, no.
You'd have to act it out is how you can do it.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Paul Goble. Welcome to the Paul Goble Show. We are beginning it right now. Joining me, as always, is my best friend and co-host, Jim Bruce.
Hello, everybody.
And joining him, as always, is his best friend and co-host, Tom Griffin.
Hello.
And our guest today is a funny gentleman making his return appearance here. Mr. Danforth France is joining us today.
Hello.
Hi, Danforth.
Hi.
Nice beard.
Thanks. I like your glasses.
Oh, thank you. Our glasses are similar. Mine are a little more retro.
I like your shirt, Tom.
Yours are a little more stylish.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you're growing that beard for... who are you playing?
Depressed Loner.
Depressed Loner and the Depressed Loner story?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's actually called the Danforth France story.
Oh, okay. And now you just came here from your garage where you restore vintage MGs, I assume?
Yep.
That's why you're wearing that hat?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Can the listeners at home see my hat?
I hope they can. I don't know what to talk about first. Your beard, your hat, or your corduroy jacket?
It looks nice.
You look great.
Hey, how about that? Yeah.
But I don't know. Most guests don't dress up. If I didn't know you better, I'd think you were wearing a costume. That's
really?
I'm saying. Yeah. Oh. But last time you didn't.
This isn't dressed up. I think my sweater's even wrinkled. The cat was sleeping on it.
Oh, well, if the sweater's wrinkled. Well, look at me. I'm certainly not dressed up. But is that okay? Because I'm
never
in my
dressed
home.
Up.
Yeah. I don't even have shoes
even
on.
Even when you're dressed up, you're not dressed up. When you're dressed up, it's like, hey, many years ago, I bought this green jacket.
Right.
And enjoy it, idiots, because it's the only jacket that fits me.
Well, I have a lot of...
My brother's here, by the way.
Yeah, Mike. Jim's brother is here.
Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Good one. All right. But Mike's just visiting, so no pressure on him. There's a lot of new shows
That's
on.
That's the thing, by the way, I hate about our show. It's way too much pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah?
It's like, can I say something stupid this week? Will I think of something no one wants
Will you
to
be
hear?
Able to?
Yeah, will I be able to come up with something that kills
well,
some time?
I think for you, there's no pressure. You're an old hand at saying stupid things. You've been doing it... pretty nonstop.
There's a
for
lot
40
of expectations,
years.
Though.
On this show, yes,
I've set
right.
I've set a stupid bar very high, and then I try to jump over it in a mini bike, which is a bad idea.
But your brother is, even though he's clearly got a lot of experience in saying stupid things, he's more on the amateur level, not professionally. Like he says stupid things for friends
well,
and family.
It's definitely a family tradition.
He doesn't necessarily do it for a living, or he hasn't aspired to, like you.
Yeah.
Speaking of stupid things, you get any jokes on SNL this week?
Of course. Did you hear all my jokes on SNL?
No.
Yeah, of course I did.
Well, I heard some jokes and one or two I could see being yours.
Yeah, did you hear some jokes where you went, really? That's the joke they picked this week? Because that's what I heard.
Oh, okay. Well, what about the Comcast joke? And I have to say it's working out well. Seriously, I have to say that. I thought that was funny. And
yep.
I thought you could have written that.
I sure could have.
All right, well, let's talk about some shows that are getting in full swing. Starting with American Idol. We can make this as brief or as long as possible. I'm watching because I always watch. But, you know, a lot of people are tuned out or people tuned in to see the train wreck that it's going to be.
I'm tuned out and I'm turned on.
Okay. And have you dropped out?
Yeah, I'm dropping out next. Yeah.
Good, all right. Now, I thought it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Because Steven Tyler isn't as annoying, and Jennifer Lopez seems like it's the best thing I've ever seen her do after Out of Sight, quite frankly. I think she's actually kind of good on it. And
well, I think it. In retrospect, you go, oh yeah, where she's probably like really rooting for modestly talented people making it.
Well, exactly. And
she
was,
can relate to sort
yeah,
of talented people
There was
making
one guy
it.
Who came on who wasn't very good. He wasn't terrible, but he just wasn't good enough. And he said, well, you know, that's good. I like this kind of criticism because I go back and I try harder. And she went, absolutely, that's what we all do. And I went, that is totally what she's done. She made some bad movies and some bad music, and she tries harder and harder, and her, you know, modest talent.
Does she try harder and harder, though, and now she's judging American Idol?
Yeah, that part, I don't know. I mean, she her movies, obviously, are terrible.
Awesome. Oh, okay.
And it's, again, except for Out of Sight, I don't think there's one Jennifer Lopez movie that...
Well, the first one, right? The
Selena?
Selena.
I have no interest in that. Did anybody here see it?
I did see it.
No.
It's a fine movie. It's, you know, it's as good as La Bamba.
It's as good as Gigli, right?
As Gigli?
Yeah.
Gigli, that's what I'm saying. But... I thought it was going to be terrible. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. But are any of you guys watching it besides you, besides Jim? Danforth, you're not watching? Mm-hmm. Tom, of course, is not.
No. I'm not watching because I never watch.
Right. You never were interested. Now, my only problem that I have with it, and it's happened.
Too much singing.
It happened once. And I even said, I turned to Brooke and said, if this happens throughout the show, I'm not going to watch. Is Steven Tyler's creepy leering at the young girls. Because nobody ever did that before. And it's, you know, there's a lot of sexy young women who come in. But this year they lowered the age limit even more. Like 13-year-olds are allowed to try out. So that's like a whole 5 years of women he can go, oh, how old are you? And you have to go, don't fucking say anything,
please. Does he say stuff or does he?
He did. Once in particular, this girl came with a really short dress on and she was 16. And yeah, she was really super sexy. But she was 16 and he was... clearly, you know, enamored of her and made a he said something like, you could be one of my, and then didn't say anything. And like shit like
and
that.
Probably
I was like,
did say something.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe he did. But I was like, look, that's not okay with me, especially when she's the same age as your fucking daughters. You have daughters who are, you know, her age.
In music videos, running around.
Yes.
And their short skirts and panties.
Exactly.
Great
I mean,
music videos.
Awesome music videos. But I mean, obviously, I'm not down with that for many reasons. But did you notice any of that when you were watching?
I haven't watched as much as you, and no. But you know what? I'll be willing to bet because I'm sure, you know, you said he did it once. He said something once. Man, I bet you he said it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how do we edit around every bit of well, okay.
Yeah, that one they
that
had
was
to keep in.
Pretty good. We managed to get it.
Some people aren't getting on TV because of it.
Okay, let's cut the part where he actually asks her if she wants to fuck. Let's try to get that off.
The other thing
it's not like he could have seen that coming from his music.
The other thing
right.
that is true. Funny to me is all the people who show up, because of course people are going to show up who are untalented and they think they're talented. That's the heart of the show. But what always amazes me is the people who show up who look like idiots. Like the fat guy who's got his pants pulled up too high and his shirt tucked in and a shitty mustache. And I think, you know what? I tell Jim every time I see him,
it's like
your mustache looks like
you
shit.
And Jim.
I don't tuck my shirt in over my fat stomach. I don't want to highlight my fat stomach. I don't want everyone to have it to be the first thing they see when I come in a room. But my point is, every time I see Jim, I make a comment about his shitty mustache.
Yep.
Do these people not have friends? Who they say, Bob,
I've explained this to you.
Shave that shit off.
You'd pause for a moment to note that Paul's definition of a friend is someone who will insult your mustache.
Your shitty mustache. Look at Danforth. He looks great. He's got a full beard, not even full. It's trimmed.
I dressed up.
Dressed up. It's like salt and pepper in all the right places. Looks like a very distinguished young man. And you're, how old are you? You're in your 30s, right?
I'll be 34 next week.
See, mid-30s, but he looks a lot older. And if he wanted to look younger, he could shave it. It's a nice, groomed, well-trimmed
if he had
beard.
A pipe, you could teach history.
Yes. Or sociology or poetry, even. But
and I could have sex with young girls.
And let me see. And just put some patches on the elbows of your corduroy jacket, right?
Sweater.
You got him on the sweater?
And here's
nice.
Here's the thing. The kids would learn history, and they'd think that that's what the class is about. But really, the class is about learning to live your life. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's the thing,
yeah.
right?
With both hands.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
No.
Living life with both hands.
Here's what I miss
book,
from American
right?
Idol that I think there's not enough of. There should be more, and there have to be clips of Steven Tyler going, here's an idea, tie a handkerchief around the microphone. There should be more stuff like that.
And Jennifer Lopez going, have you ever thought of patting your butt?
Have you ever thought of putting something in your jeans to make your butt look bigger?
Does Steven ever say anything that just doesn't make any sense at all?
He's fairly lucid. I was surprised because he seems on board. He seems like he's got his shit together. But he'll say, like, he said this twice now. What did he say? Hang fire, save the matches, fuck a duck, and see what hatches. And I think, well, first of all, isn't it shit fire and save the matches? Isn't that the term, right? You shit fire, and that way you don't have to use matches.
Oh, I get it.
You shit fire out of your butthole, and you're saving matches that way. Hang fire means spark up a joint, right?
Well, hang can mean, like, leave it, like, forget it, like the British usage, I guess.
Hang fire?
Yeah.
Oh, so forget fire and save the matches.
That doesn't make any sense either. I've never heard of this phrase.
No, I've certainly never heard
of
the fucking
duck part. And he says it all the time?
Well, he said it twice, like, as an exclamation when somebody's really good. And of course, they bleep the fuck part, but you know what he's saying.
Hmm.
And they all go, whoa, ho, 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 ho. I don't know. I've already seen, I mean, it's the same show as it's always been.
Who's the person who's still left? Who, the middle guy?
Randy.
Oh, he's there? Okay.
Yeah. It's still like, you know, there's a bunch of retards, and then there's a couple people you go, oh my God, and then you see the one person you go, I think they're going to win, and, you know,
That's the thing I was curious about. Do people watch it just for the freaks, or do people actually enjoy the
singing?
Some
people, like...
people looking to find someone who will sing a nice tune?
My friend Ellie has quit watching the show because she says there's not enough freaks this year. So there are some people who only want to watch the train wrecks, and in fact, she likes the show first part of the season, and then once that part's over, she stops.
Yeah, and there are some people who say they watch it like that, but the brilliance of the show is you see somebody really good and you accidentally get invested in them. So you're like, well, let me just see how they do in Hollywood. And then you get invested more, and then they're on the show, and now all of a sudden you want to see how they do, and you watch the whole competition, and that's how...
Now you're invested, and you have to do an e-reading, and right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah.
To get cleared, you mean?
Yeah. That's how they trick you. That's what the show's about now.
All right. Well, let's talk about another show that just started, The Onion News Network. Who has watched this show besides me?
I've seen the online clips.
Okay, so you watched some of the online stuff. There's only been two episodes on. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was like, it's like The Onion, only no reading. That's the great thing about it. It's just as funny as The Onion, only I don't have to read it. Someone's reading it to me. And there's layers of comedy. What clips did you see online, Dan Forth?
I think I've just seen the old stuff they used to do, piecemeal. I haven't seen any clips of the
year. Oh, okay, so you haven't seen the actual show.
No.
Because the premise is, it's like CNN, where it's like 6 hours of coverage. And they say, you know, stay tuned for 5 more hours, but of course that's the end of the show. Just like on Sports Dome, they do that same thing. Like, they say it's like... you know, 6 hours of coverage, whatever, but it's only an hour long. But it's fucking great because they talk about weather and whatever. And one of the running jokes they have is that time travelers from the future are coming back trying to kill Suri Cruz in an effort to stop her reign of terror in the future. And they're reporting it just like news. It's not amazing that these guys are coming back from the future, but they are. And then the update on it was that this guy from the future, Kit Top Gun, came back to protect her and to be her bodyguard. And he's this giant, muscly guy with this fucking giant, weird weapon welded onto his arm. And he's clearly futuristic, and it's fucking great. And then before they go off the air, there's like a few glitches and whatever, and like guys from the future break into the feed and say, "She must be stopped. Stop Suri Cruz. Her marriage to Jaden Smith must not be consummated." And it's fucking great. And everybody in the future, their last name is a Tom Cruise movie. This is Genesis Cocktail coming from the future. And I think it's just fucking hysterical. But I haven't heard a lot about it. I think because a lot of people don't get it because it's on IFC as opposed to Sports Dome. But like that in Portlandia. Have you seen Portlandia?
Yes. Well, no, I've seen clips of that.
And what do you think of that?
It looks funny.
It's pretty funny. It's not crazy funny, but it's about what you'd expect. It's, you know, subdued.
It's like a little hometown sketch comedy show.
Yeah, it's what you'd expect from Fred Armisen. It's a little subversive and it's a little subdued.
It's like a little boutique show, kind of.
That's exactly what it is. They did this funny skit where him and Carrie were these two lesbians. Well, I didn't say they were lesbians, but these two women running like a women's bookshop. And Steve Buscemi just had to come in to use the bathroom. and they hassled him because he didn't buy something, but then they didn't have any money to give him change or anything, and then eventually they had to go get change at the bank, and they locked him in, and it's funny stuff like that, just weird, and I don't know. I always think, is this funnier if you're from Portland? You know,
right.
You
well, I think like all cities have like that a neighborhood that's kind of Portland-esque, right? Where all the freaks live and where all the gay bars are and stuff.
What is it here, Silver Lake?
Yeah, or whatever, you know.
Do you think it's Silver Lake? Is that where you live?
I live in Glendale.
Oh.
Oh, so Glendale's not cool
at all.
So
it's Glendale.
No. but it's good there's like something that's like that specific and hip, but also, you know, how long is that going to last? I mean, who gets that joke?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is like, I mean, I like it and I get it, but obviously it's a very specific audience, but I always think, is it funnier if you're from Portland?
It probably isn't. You probably have a chip on your shoulder just because you can't get over the fact like, that's not what it's like, or that's not a guy I know, but it's like, it's
yeah, maybe.
Even if it's really specifically, as it says it is, supposed to be Portland, it's not really Portland. It could be anywhere. It could be any...
I think they do shoot it there, though. He went and did it over the summer. And, of course, it's produced by Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how back in the old days when anyone who was on SNL, if they wanted to do a side project, they had to do it in the summer real quick, so they had to be back in time. And, like, Belushi and Aykroyd quit SNL because they hadn't finished the Blues Brothers movies in time.
Is that why they quit?
Yeah, they quit because they said, we don't want to fly back and forth to finish this movie, so we're done. Whereas now that Lorne Michaels owns all those kids and owns a piece of everything they do, he's like, by all means, Jason Sudeikis, you want to start in this movie? Go, please, go do it. Fred, you want to do a new show? Oh, by all means, I'm on board.
So is he still on SNL or no? Or he's doing both? Okay.
No, he's still on. I think it's something they did over the summer. They just shot it, like, you know, in the 2 months over the summer. But all those kids. And I don't know if I brought this up before, but Adam Sandler in his new movie, again, Two Hot Ladies.
You have brought it up.
Okay, good. All right, then let's move on.
The other good thing about Portlandia, it's another, I guess the only other entry in the Northwest sketch comedy television show genre.
After what, Twin Peaks?
Almost Live.
Oh, that's right, Almost Live. That was from Seattle, right?
Yeah, you can put it in that category.
Oh, that's funny. Almost Live, wow. And the only significant thing to come out of that?
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That's right, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
You wanted me to say...
I just saw on...
What's his bucket from The Soup?
Joel McHale?
Yeah, he came off that show, too.
I don't know if he's significant.
You know, it's weird, he had less hair on that show.
Whoa, what do you think that's about?
Well, I think he's had his hair fixed.
How so?
I don't know.
Like, implants
but
or
you can watch clips of him on Almost Live, which is like in the 90s, and he is almost bald. He looks like Kelsey Grammer.
That was almost what they called the show.
Yeah. Almost bald.
Well, do you think he had, like, plugs? Or he
I don't know what all the technologies are, but he had something.
I saw Shatner. I was watching the show Pioneers of Television on PBS, which is a really cool documentary show, and they were doing sci-fi on this episode. And there was a lot of interviews with Shatner, and they're really close-up, like ECU, on their faces. And you could see whatever he's doing with his hair now, it's clearly not a rug, because you can see his scalp.
Yeah.
Like, the hair's so short, you can see his scalp through the hair. And he must have had a graft or something. Because, you know, in the 80s, he wore a rug. Clearly wore that big, thick, bushy rug.
The T.J. Hooker.
Yeah, but
see, I've
not
always
anymore.
Been a little, what's the right word?
Gay?
Agnostic? Yeah, and gay. I've come on your show to... about the Shatner wig thing. Like, I know everyone makes a joke about it, but I actually have a hard time seeing... I mean, the T.J. Hooker hair is weird. I always assumed it was a perm. But Pat Healy thinks I'm crazy. He thinks I'm blind. I'm like, I just don't see where it's a wig.
It's a good rug. I think it's a good rug. But if you watch the later episodes of the original Star Trek, he's even wearing a rug then.
Yeah, like a piece?
Yeah.
Like something to... Okay.
Yeah, he's wearing a piece then because he was going bald
during
that show.
Because it is thin. Like, his hair is sort of...
And Nimoy on the show would wear fake ears. I don't know what that is. He was insecure or something.
I've never noticed his ears.
No?
Are they bigger or pointier or something?
I remember him being bigger.
All right.
Paul, do you want to be involved in what's
going
on? He was the character with the talking ears, right?
That's right.
That was his alien race.
Well, if you have IFC, you should watch the Onion News Network, and if you don't, you should watch it online.
His ears would say, that's a spicy
online?
Meatball if they saw, like, a funny alien.
I'm sure there's
alien.
Clips on the... Yeah, I would hope.
Right. Clips. Yeah,
on IFC?
Meteor.
I know you can watch some of it on IFC, right?
You can watch clips, yes.
Okay, so watch the clips.
Okay.
I think they put the
That's not as satisfying as watching
episode. No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I mean, if someone doesn't have cable by now, you're not going to force them to get it, right?
Well, I'm not, no.
And I can't, like...
It's not how I roll.
Let's take you, for example. I can't force you to get some sort of cable, as much as I've tried. But I can recommend...
You tried?
Yeah, but I can recommend that you watch the clips online,
no,
right?
Apparently you can't force me, because I didn't even notice you were trying to force me.
Well, that's... I'm very subtle
about it.
The
tactics are very ineffective.
Well, subtle. We'll say subtle.
I'd say
ineffective. And then you'll find yourself watching the show later.
But see, if anybody knows you, if you try to force you to do something, then you've already lost. Because if I try to force you to do it, you're not going to do it just to spite me, right?
Well, I might do that, yes.
See? So, for me to say you haven't noticed me doing it, well, that's because if you noticed me doing it, then there would be no point in me trying to do it, right? See? I'm using trick psychology. Isn't that what they call it?
Your relationship is
trick psychology is when you injured your psychology years ago and it still acts up every now and then.
And when it rains psychology. And stuff, yeah.
When it rains, I start screaming.
All right, well, let's go to the trivia question. Last week, the trivia question was about, Danforth, you might know this, was about the show Joey. Remember the sitcom Joey?
Yeah.
It was the question was about his nephew. In a certain scene, his nephew decided not to talk to hot ladies because there was a celebrity at this party he wanted to talk to who was a real celebrity. And who was it? And they all guessed wrong. Tom came closest, saying Will Wheaton. Do you have a guess?
Will Wheaton's close?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry McConnell.
No, it was Brent Spiner. That's why Will Wheaton is close. And a lot of people guessed it. A lot of listeners wrote in, like five or six people. But
he
the first
played
one
himself?
To get it,
mm-hmm. In the part of a celebrity? Like, people actually, the lay person who watches NBC knows who Brent Spiner is?
I would hope so, but the thing is...
I would too, but I don't
his nephew was a huge nerd, so it had to be a nerd celebrity.
Right,
that
okay.
He would be more interested in than talking to a girl. Because he was like, I have my original uniform in the trunk of my car. You want to go see it? It was that type of
thing. That sort of gag. Can I digress for one second?
Please
You're
do.
The right guy to talk about this. Have you guys talked about the Big Bang Theory?
The show?
Yeah.
Well, or the theory. Nah, we haven't talked about the theory, no.
That'll be next time I host.
Yeah,
I keep having this conversation with people.
I will be,
and,
too.
And some people look at me like I'm crazy, but I think the Big Bang Theory is basically a minstrel show for nerds. Or about nerds. Like, it's not actually authentic to anything. It's like, let's dress up sort of handsome... but sort of weird-looking guys. One of the guys' name is Sheldon. What nerd, mm-hmm. You know, his name? It's ridiculous. It's a cartoon, and no one watches, like, the IT Crowd or whatever, because it doesn't air in this country, but, like, everyone's
parents. It was on IFC for a while.
And America watches The Big Bang Theory and thinks, those are America's nerds. But
right.
They're total, it's BS.
Well, the thing is, they're not just nerds. They're also geniuses.
Right, they're also super intelligent.
Three of the four of them are doctors, and one of them's got a master's. So it's not that they're just nerds. They're also geniuses. And they're all different degrees of socially awkward.
Right.
I mean, the one guy, Sheldon, he's practically autistic.
Yeah.
The one guy is so socially awkward he can't talk when there's a woman in the room. I mean, that's like a psychological hang-up. The one guy, Leonard, he's okay. He's just a little awkward.
I haven't seen a lot of it, but what I saw, I didn't like.
But you're right. I mean, I watch it, and it's not like nerdy in the sense that, like, we are nerds. We like sci-fi, and we like comic books. and you know, we do nerd-related things. We play video games and shit like that. But we're just like them, except we're not geniuses. I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Right, Jim?
Well... Yes. There's this comic I know who's a real nerd in the sense that, like, he, last week for his set, he talked about why he hates Mac users. But the thing is, he uses Mac and PC because he needs to have he does a lot of crazy stuff, but he went through this whole litany of reasons why he hates the Mac cult, and then it ended up getting so informed that I'm like, I think now he's talking about the specs of a Mac, and I'm not kidding. He was like, I'm like, is he talking about how they build Macs now? Who's enjoying this? I think I am, because it's so oddly informed.
Was it stand-up, or was it like a TED talk?
It was stand-up.
What's a TED Talk?
TED, that innovation and technology and design thing that inspiring people come talk about.
Now, see, how can you say you're not a nerd?
What? Well,
you know what TED Talk is.
I might be a nerd, but I'm smart.
But I think
I would just say smart and a nerd later.
Most nerds are smart to some extent. So the problem is, a lot of nerds are only smart. Their intellect is very narrow.
Yes.
And sometimes their intellect is so narrow they're not smart about human interaction or how to be polite or how to dress themselves.
Sure.
It's like there's this new show on IFC, I think it's called, I don't know, Brilliant
Onion Weird. News Network?
No, it's a different, not on IFC, TLC is what it's on. And it's basically about these people who are brilliant, but they even say to themselves, yes, I can compose these brilliant songs, but I can't talk to another human being without help. And so it's shit like that. But I don't know. I think it's. I don't think it's any more a minstrel show than anything else on TV.
There's characters play some sort of. Yeah.
There seems to be a divide in amongst the nerd and geek culture about whether the show is laughing with us or at us. So some people love the show. Some people hate it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a big mainstream hit. That's true.
But. Yes, I think. I mean, that's the main thing is like many hits on TV, people who don't know really anything about nerd culture or comic books or whatever watch it and go, ha-ha, these nerds are so funny.
Yeah, but you know what? That is the kind of like when Will and Grace was popular. The gay community was split on that show, too. That's kind of how things are. Because there was just like, well, it's nice to be out there, but it's also not nice that Jack's a complete whatever.
Yeah, he was a douche.
But some people thought, no, it's a good thing. So maybe there are some nerds who say, we've made progress.
And then at the same time, there are people who have no gay friends and they're meta homosexual to their knowledge. And they watch the show and go, haha, gays are funny.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, back to the trivia question. Feel free to digress at any time, by the way. Don't feel hampered by the topic.
Okay. By our strict
The answer was, like I said, the answer was Brent Spiner. A lot of people got it right, but the first guy who got it right, it was Matt J., who is a longtime listener of the show.
Congratulations, Matt.
Way to go, Matt. And he drew a picture of me that was me as a puppet that I used as my profile picture for a while. Yeah, you remember that? And he asked me for a prize. He wanted me to mention his website, which is DualShockers.com, a video game news and review site. And they have three podcasts that they do. There's the Shockcast, which is about the news of the week, which I thought was about the Shocker, which I was very disappointed when I listened and found it wasn't about that. But then they also have two topic discussions, the Dualcast, which is about RPGs, and he hosts the retro indie podcast, Retro Shockers. So it's the Shockcast, the Dualcast, and Retro Shockers, all tied in there together. Speaking of nerds.
I hope he's a very clearly
He's got a podcast about RPGs?
Yes.
Like pencil, pen and paper RPGs?
I think role-playing games.
Yeah, that's what desktop.
I don't know.
Are we talking Dungeons and Dragons or Final Fantasy?
Oh, I see. You're talking about like rolling dice or...
They might cover analog and digital. As an umbrella.
Maybe, maybe you give it a listen, Tom. It sounds right up your alley. It's definitely something for nerds. The Shockcast, the Dualcast, and Retro Shockers. And the site is DualShockers.com. Dual as in two. D-U-A-L. All right, so moving on. I gotta tell this story. I've been meaning to tell it for weeks, but it's something funny my kids said. The other day, we were watching TV, and my kids are too old to spank now, yet I always will threaten to spank them. Like, they will bother me with a dumb question, like, what's for dinner? And I'll say, a spanking. Are you hungry now? And they say no. And things like that. Even though I would never spank them now because they're far too old for that.
Yeah, now it's punching time.
Yeah, now it's more like punching, kicking, throwing outside.
Or is it because now they can kick your ass?
Well, just because it's ineffective now. It's with kids that old. There's a very small window, I think, when you can spank your kids. But but the other day we were talking about spanking, and Brooke said something about spanking your monkey. And I said, oh, yeah, I mean, I don't care how old you guys are, I'll always be spanking the monkey. And I said, I was just spanking the monkey the other day. And, of course, I say this stuff, and Brooke laughs, and the kids, like, have no idea. And then I said that, and Zoe goes, were you at the zoo? And I said, yes, but that was just a coincidence. I just happened to be at the zoo, and really the two things were unrelated. And I laughed so hard. And I was like, man, I love... That's my favorite thing to say to my kids. Shit that they don't understand that I think is funny. Like the mustache ride.
And you know, at some point, they're going to figure out what that means.
Of course. And they should. I mean, they... As they should be curious about what shit means in the world, like we all are. You hear something on TV, or you see a, you know, you see a sign, or see it in a magazine. You're like, what does that mean? And eventually,
but then that's a great moment, because it's a goddamn it moment. You know, when they like, and it might not happen for a long time, because it's just might be one of those things that it never dawns on them. And then when they're in their 20s, and they go. Fucking dead.
Really? My dad used to say that. What?
What does that mean? Well, and
it's about anal sex? Oh, gross.
Wait, huh? Wait. Is that what spanking the monkey means?
I was just sleeping to whatever the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Phew. Because I've been grossly misinformed if that's the case.
Some guy would be like, yeah, we're going out to dinner, kids. Hey, who's in the mood for Greek? God damn it.
Well, Brooke likes to tell this story. When she was younger, she was out to dinner with a bunch of friends, and someone ordered a Greek salad, you know, and I guess it was a Greek place, so the salads are really big. And someone got up, and they're, like, facing the table, and the waitress comes up behind her with the food, and she goes, "Big Greek coming up behind you." Of course, the whole table busted out laughing. And that you know, that's one of those things that then you say forever for the rest of your life. Big Greek coming up behind you, which makes me laugh. Another show that just started was the Piers Morgan Show. What's called Piers Morgan? Not Piers Morgan Live.
MD?
Tonight. Isn't it called Piers Morgan Tonight?
Now.
Piers Morgan Now?
Piers Morgan is on.
Piers Morgan Talking. Piers Morgan is opening his mouth.
I thought it was just Piers Morgan exclamation point.
Piers Morgan, animated, and there's sound.
Piers Morgan, animated?
Yes.
Is it the kid spinoff?
No, he means he's moving. He's actually moving and sound, not just sitting there motionless and silent. Mm. But you have you watched that, Dan?
Seen clips.
Now, did you want to talk about it because you were drunk when I brought it up, or just like Star Trek? Last time I asked you about a show, your first thing you said was, can I talk about Star Trek?
Can I talk about Star Trek? Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was because you were drunk. This time you said... How about Piers Morgan? Were you also drunk?
Well, because I didn't watch American Idol, but... and then... Is he even on that show, or is he on the latest show?
He's on the other one, America's Got Talent.
I mentioned it was tangential, but...
It is tangential, you're right.
See, I watched him on Britain's Got Talent.
Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, which I actually enjoyed.
Now, where did you watch Britain's Got Talent?
It was either YouTube, or I think we downloaded it immediately.
Okay. Well, that... There were a lot of clips because Susan Boyle was on Britain's Got Talent.
Right.
So there was a lot of clips. It was...
Yeah, I think she was like... Yeah, she was the year before, but then I even watched like this last one that they had. And I don't know, something about the Britain version of it. It's so much more charming. It's more like eclectic, or it's like a little...
Well,
there's something sincere
about it. Susan Boyle's on it. You know what I mean? Like, our version of it wouldn't have their Susan Boyle until they had one, and then they look for crazies here, but it's still... The Hollywood version of casting the crazy instead of just letting it happen organically, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, part of the problem with America's Got Talent is they literally let anybody on. And, I mean, if people go, I'm going to come on and fart the Star Spangled Banner, and nobody says, go home. We don't want
but
that.
But then it'd be these little...
So then it's the opposite of what Jim said.
Well, no, because then in the meantime... They're trying to cast, like Jim said, they're looking for this and that out of everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's not, there's no narrow character that they're looking for. They're like, anybody can be a huge star. If they could make the guy who farts the Star Spangled Banner a huge star, they would do it. And they look for that in every single person. You see what I'm saying?
I don't see how it fits with what Jim was saying.
Okay.
Anyway, the Piers Morgan thing.
Yes.
Like, on that show, he was one of the judges with Simon Cowell, and he was, like, the first guy. So he was sort of, like, even-handed and respectful. Some things he didn't like, and he'd be honest about it. It just seemed much more, like, authentic. Like, they're all just not trying so hard to be, like, a certain character
as
a judge.
And Simon was, even though he's the mean guy, he was just being himself, because he is a mean guy.
Because I never really watched too much of, like, Idol and his other shows, so when I saw, like... I don't know about how he is on the American shows, but on the British show, he was he was just honest. Like, if somebody was terrible, he would just be like, I don't get what this is, you're not ready, you're wasting everybody's time.
Yeah,
and people would
go,
boo! that's and I think shout back like, he's right, shut up, you teeny boppers in the
audience. That's exactly what he does on Idol, but they play it up more. They tell him, you know, boo at him and don't let him get away with it and tell the audience.
But then, so then when they did America's Got Talent, they had Piers Morgan just, they told him to be the mean guy. And it was like, it just... Not that meant probably not that many people are going to watch both shows, but I was like, wait a minute, in Britain he's nice.
Yeah, how can he be the mean guy?
Same thing
here?
With what's
he just
like,
hates Americans
with the Chef Ramsay. Like he's not that much of a dick in the UK. Like that's the total fuck. I mean, he is.
Well, have you seen Kitchen Nightmares?
Yes,
the Ramsay,
I mean, he's got rough
English
edges,
version?
But like when they did Hell's Kitchen.
They play it up for Hell's Kitchen.
That's what I don't get about like American TV is why it has to be so fake and heightened and so nasty. And
because that's what Americans want to see. And you know,
and the boo hiss thing.
And a lot of that is the editing. You know, I remember I was talking to Patton Oswalt once about when he was just doing voices for cartoons, and we were watching Kim Possible. Me and my kids were watching Kim Possible, and he was a bad guy on it. And he said, you know, the thing about doing cartoons is it's rough because I don't ever want to do a weird, crazy voice. I just want to make the lines be funny. And he said, you know, I'll do it and I'll say the line and then they'll say, okay, let's do one for fun where you just go crazy with it. And he does. And that's the one that they use.
Right.
And Paul F. Tompkins said the same thing when he was on, Best Week Ever. Said, you know, he'd say his funny joke. And they'd all go, do you want to say it a little more animated or a little more this or punch this? And he'd say no, because he knew that's the one they were
going to give them the choice.
If you give them the choice, they're always going to use that one. And sometimes he would, Paul said, sometimes he would go crazy, like over the top and go, and that's still the one they would use.
Yeah, sure.
Because they don't fucking care. So, and England is not that way.
Yeah. But so when they said that he was taking over for Larry King, you know, obviously we're in a time it's like, oh, maybe the cable news network should do like more news shows because like Larry King's just been like this black hole of stupid crap for years and years and years. And then like they started running the ads where there's Piers Morgan, who used to have a career in journalism back in the UK.
Yeah, he used to publish the Daily Mirror.
He used to be like a real, you know, guy. And he's like, we're going to make it more about pop culture and get into what's going on and...
Hey, let's just try one with Suspenders.
it's not better. I saw him on Letterman talking about it, and he said, it's really fun because I love to talk to people. And he said, and I had this whoever on the show, and it was great. And then he goes, and then there's also the Kardashians. And he just was basically saying, yeah, I have to interview them, and it sucks. And I'm like, why do you have to interview them?
Yeah, it's like,
why? Who's making
it's
you
CNN.
Do that?
Why don't you interview, you know, a head of state? Or
I think the Kardashians are just unstoppable at this point.
Like, they just show up places.
You've just lost control of them.
And it doesn't matter. They're like the military in the old days. They show up at your house. You have to take them in.
Right.
Hi. That's why they had those shows. Kim and Courtney take New York, take Miami. That's because that's what they do. They take shit. They walk into a store. Hi, we're the Kardashians. We're here to take some shit. Oh,
Kim and Courtney tax you without letting you know. You've seen that show sucks.
Chloe runs you over with her car because she's drunk and you can't do anything about it. I hate that. I hate that
show.
Is
that called quartering? We have to put up soldiers?
Yes, quartering. Quartering soldiers.
Somebody out there was thinking, it's called quartering, say it.
Thank God. All right, another show that's very funny that's just started is An Idiot Abroad. And now last time you were here, the Ricky Gervais show had just begun, and we talked about that. And that just started second season. And it's weird because we both said, we've listened to the Ricky Gervais podcasts. And I don't know about you, but watching the show is really less entertaining for me.
The cartoon show?
Yeah, because I've heard everything they've said.
Right.
I've heard all those words before.
Actually, keeping my eye on the screen because I actually know all the stories,
right?
Because from listening to it over and over again, and then I just kind of space out.
You tune out,
and I forget to watch what the animation.
And you might miss, And some like there was one episode where Carl was talking about somebody striking, and he said, you know, when they're striking about, you know, wages or whatever, and they show a picture of someone holding a sign that says wages or whatever, and that made me laugh out loud. Yeah. But I thought. That's one of the few things they put on the show that you can't get from the podcast, but it's really hard to listen to. But this new show is where Ricky and Steve have sent Carl to visit the Seven Wonders of the world. And it's fucking great.
Yeah.
I assume you've seen it.
I've seen all of them, and it's awesome.
And
if you're a fan of Carl Pilkington, it's weird. It's like it really does like heighten him or whatever as a character. It's like we're going to put him in, like, not jeopardy, but, like, in these really uncomfortable situations.
Right, and like out of his comfort zone.
Sometimes they're almost, like, poignant, where you have Carl's weird brain processing some amazing thing or culture.
Yeah.
You sometimes get a little drop of like, oh, look, he's trying or he's learning. Or
right.
Or that's actually a very good point.
Like, well, this last episode when they went to India and he's sitting by the Ganges and he's loving it. He said, why don't we just do this? This is great.
Yeah, when he actually has fun for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. But then the guy says, the director goes, well, yeah, but this isn't really good telly, just watching you sit by the Ganges, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
So they have to get him up to the Taj Mahal. But
I actually felt sorry for him in that India one. Like,
when they're throwing paint all over him?
Well, like when he goes, like, I think he's going north, he's like going closer to the Taj Mahal, and he's like staying in like terrible places, and he can't sleep and stuff, and like... Anybody who's like been sleep deprived or stayed in a shitty hotel.
Well, I was like, you thought China was bad because the week before he's in China complaining about the hotel, and that was actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
And obviously it was small. But what's funny to me is they did it brilliantly because the first episode was them talking about the show and Ricky and Steve
setting it up. Yeah.
And Ricky and Steve were on it and had big parts, and I thought this is so great because fans of Ricky are going to watch this,
right?
And then because they're barely in the rest of the show. They're only on the phone,
right?
And they're going to watch the whole thing. And my kids, they hate the Ricky Gervais show, the cartoon, but they love Idiot Abroad.
Oh, yeah?
They think it's hysterical, the shit he does.
Because they get Carl?
Yeah, they get that he's kind of dumb. And of course, they see him do this cool stuff. And, you know, it's like, oh, there's the pyramids and there's the Taj Mahal or whatever. But they get it, and they get him, like, it's like The Amazing Race without the race part. It's going to these crazy fucking places and being out of your element and not knowing what to do.
It's still paced and edited quite well, but yeah, you're right.
Yes.
There's no race.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's done. It's also done really well. It's edited really well.
And I seen like critics ever, whatever, or people who don't know who Carl Pilkington is, like who don't get the joke, go like, why am I watching this idiot or this, you know, this jerk go around?
Yeah, that always
surprises. Just because the host himself isn't celebrating the culture of the place you're at doesn't mean as a viewer you can't learn something about what the whinger is going through.
Right.
You know, and look at what South America is like.
And I think him complaining about stuff, because he complains about stuff that you might never see, like the toilets. Every place he goes, there's a problem with the toilets, obviously because they're different.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard in India, you're lucky if there's a toilet. Like, if you're in your hotel room, if you're staying in a nice hotel, there will be a toilet in your room.
Yeah.
But out in public, no. No toilets, no toilet paper. You're lucky if there's a clean place to shit at all. And that, I think that is interesting stuff, that, you know, how they just deal with different shit. And also, did you see that Indian man with his arm up in the air?
Yeah.
I had never heard of that before.
And looks like just an arm of beef jerky, and it's
yeah,
just
and his fingernails are crazy long. This guy in India has had his arm up in the air for 12 years, literally sitting down, holding his arm up in the air, up to God, for 12 years straight. So the arm itself, it looks deformed, but of course, it's basically atrophied. Yeah, it's like a skinny bone, and then the fingernails are all curly and fucked up, because that's how he's worshiping God. And I think, man, that's just crazy, right? Stick your arm up in the air for 12 years?
Yeah. Well, that whole market that they're at in that scene is like... like a weird flea market of, like, babas, they call them?
Yeah,
like
they call
weird,
them
like,
babas,
guru guys,
yeah.
Like, wise men who all mutilate themselves and go...
Yeah, a guy tied his wang around a stick and twisted it around. And
I didn't know anything about those
that's
neither
places.
Did I.
So that was
a lot of those seems like even... I would hope that if I were in the culture, I would go, man, we've got a fucked up culture, because that's... Because I'm... Like, it's like one thing when you go, oh, you eat this weird thing, and like, well, it's weird to you. It's not weird to other people, and we eat stuff that other people are, but holding your arm up and...
Well, here's my question to you. How hard would it be for you not to go high five when you saw that guy? When you walked up to him and saw him with his arm in the air?
No, then what I would want to do is go, yeah, you.
No, here's what you do.
Sir?
You go, excuse me, I want to know, is anybody here a faggot? Anyone? Oh, yeah? Okay, let me take another poll.
That is what you would do.
Anybody here an asshole? Who's an asshole? Oh, you. Okay,
oh, my goodness.
Okay, now let's see. Who here likes to be kicked in the ass? Anyone? Okay, sir, step up.
All right, I'm taking a volunteer who wants to drink my pee. Oh, sir.
Congratulations.
All day long. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then I'm the guy who makes him go, all right, fuck this. Puts his arm down after 12 years. I've had enough for you. Yeah. I bet it's probably stuck in place.
Yeah, it'd probably snap off if they did.
Maybe that's what you do. All right, put your arm down.
And every now and then you put in just a nice one, like, who likes Star Trek?
Oh, okay, yeah, me too. And then you try to shake his hand. Well, that's a good show that you should watch if you have it on your cable system, An Idiot Abroad. You guys didn't bother? You guys didn't?
I watched some clips of it.
Yeah? What's your opinion of it? You didn't want to weigh in?
It seems entertaining, but I haven't listened or watched the Ricky
Gervais
show.
Oh, yeah. So what is your opinion, then, of Carl not knowing anything about him or the Ricky Gervais show and that nonsense?
I know
nonsense.
Who he is.
Right.
Like, I understand the dynamic,
mm-hmm.
But, like, I haven't listened to those shows, so I don't have an affinity for him.
Okay. So is it less interesting because of that?
Maybe. I mean, I still thought it was interesting, but he seemed... I know that his reputation is that he's dumb, but he didn't seem so much dumb to me as just sort of mentally inflexible.
Yeah, that's
he
a...
Seemed,
yeah.
I watched some of the clips in the India episode, and, like, some of the stuff he was saying seemed actually pretty reasonable. So he was making... Some mm-hmm. of the points he was making actually seemed just perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, he's just kind of like
that obtuse. It's just clear that he just doesn't really want to be here.
Yeah, well, that's what they said in the first episode. You know, they said, you know, we're going to pay you and we're going to send you this stuff. And Ricky said he constantly was calling saying, I want to come home. I'll give you the money back. I don't want to do this. Yeah. And Ricky was saying, no, no,
I mean, that's,
no deal. See, you signed a contract.
As someone who isn't already fond of Carl, that is kind of an interesting hook to watch a travelogue about a guy that doesn't want to be traveling. That is kind of interesting.
Well, he even said that at one point he's on the bus and he's talking about how hot it is and this woman next to him is spitting.
Taking into the bag. Oh,
and he's like, you know, I don't understand. You see these travel shows where guys are traveling around in a suit and they're having a great time. He's like, that makes no sense. None of them are whining. How is that possible? He's almost like turning it on himself saying, why am I so miserable and these other travel shows, everyone's having such a great time.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, yeah, I mean, I don't care how much you love to travel and see different things. There's got to be a time when you go, holy fuck, it's hot. Yeah. You know, or this sucks.
Like, yeah, I'm open-minded, but this is horrible.
Yeah,
like,
this food is bullshit.
This is a terrible bus. Yeah. I hate these people.
Well, like in China, when he went to China and he's trying to get some food, and he went by, you know, they had all that shit that you can eat, the scorpion on a stick and the seahorse on a stick. And I'm like, yeah, that's great that they eat it. It's still fucking crazy, and I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm with him, and like, what, really? How about just a chicken?
I think I'd try. I'd try some stuff.
What would you try?
Scorpions or
seahorse?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, even if I kind of felt like, ooh, like, well, you know, I've taken, you know, pills before. I'll just kind of swallow it.
Well, then what's the point then? If you just put it down your gullet,
I had seahorse in China.
All right. Well, you can say that now.
But I was surprised by that. It actually is. I thought it was touching. Like, I guess it's just started to air here, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, by the end, like, I'm not gonna spoil or anything, but like, by the time he, like, comes back from all these trips, like, the last episode, he goes back to where he used to go on vacation as a kid, to, like, this little trailer park.
Really?
Where it's, like, all just sodden with, you know, rain clouds and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's really, and they just kind of... And it's kind of like when all the hobbits come back from the big war back to the Shire. Like, he, against his will, has had his horizons broadened a little bit, and he doesn't see his own childhood the same way, or his own life the same way.
Which is the whole point of the show.
Which I was surprised that, like, that...
That it worked?
That it worked, and they actually almost dedicate, like, a whole episode to, like, okay,
you're
back, and you're just in England, and we're just going to do this...
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Because that's what Steven is constantly harping on, saying, because he travels a lot.
Yeah.
And he says, I think traveling even broadens the mind. Because even Ricky has said, I don't really like to travel to places where I have to get shots and the food is weird. And, you know, I think America is far. Speaking of Ricky Gervais, who saw him on The Office? Did we all see
Loved
him on The Office?
I saw that clip, and I couldn't actually tell if that was really from the show or not.
It was the opening. It was the teaser.
It was just that was it? That was actually it. On television, but I saw on the internet.
It was, obviously, they had done it, you know, at some point and decided to put it in this episode. But I read that he was going to be on the show, and I thought it was going to be a big part. But I just, of course...
I heard there was, like, a four-part arc?
That's for Will Ferrell.
That's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
I thought
that's the extent of his cameo.
That's it.
Yeah.
And he was definitely David Brent. He introduced himself as David Brent.
I want to talk about the Will Ferrell thing really quick.
Okay.
And how stupid human beings are. I read that Ricky Gervais was doing a cameo, which is great. And then I read about Will Ferrell doing his little arc. And then one of the writers, maybe it's the guy who plays Toby.
Paul Lieberstein
made some comment like, well, we're glad to continue our grand tradition of discovering movie stars to put on our TV show. And right. I thought that was a funny thing to say, and people are going to see what a sexy, dynamic person Will Ferrell is. So something like that.
Right. Because well, that's what they've done with Amy Ryan. Oscar nominee Amy Ryan, they put back on the show because apparently she can't get work after being nominated for an Oscar.
So, fine.
Well, but Paul's point was that's what they did with Steve Carell. He said, When we discovered Steve Carell, he was just a movie star.
Yeah, but I don't think he was as big a star. I think
that's the joke.
I mean, he was in the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
So he says that little comment, and it's perfectly. And now I understand I deserve some derision because I'm still complaining about dumb stuff people say on message boards. But I'm still going to complain about it because somebody posts in this message board, they go, Will Ferrell's already famous. How does he not know that? Like, you fucking people, how do you type? How do your hands work to type? If you think a thing like that, how is it possible that you can type? How can you use language? How does that even make sense? How does your brain not just tell your lungs to stop?
It's the internet thing where people are just so in such a rush to make a judgment that they're not even paying attention to the thing that they're judging.
I don't think a lot of them are capable of making it. It's just best not to scroll down.
It's true.
It's like trying not to itch a scab or something. It's like, don't look at the comments. Don't look at the comments.
I like message boards where you have to log in or you have to sign in to message, because so many times I want to type something, but then I see, oh, I got to log in.
And you go, ah, screw it.
It's not worth it. Right. And it saves me from that. Yeah. And it saves me from, sometimes it's even log in to read comments. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't, thank God I have to log in to do this because I don't want to see the comments.
See, that doesn't even make sense, because then that person had to be able to figure out how to log in.
And they couldn't figure out the CAPTCHA.
Is there a nurse logging in for them? Is that the deal? There's their nurse logs
well,
in?
Well, Mike Schmidt brings this up on his podcast all the time. He says, you know, the amazing thing about America and the internet is they will, you know, glom on to somebody who they want to be a hero and then just be poised for the minute that they can turn on him, like this Golden Voice Drifter guy.
Yeah.
As soon as he got into trouble with the law, everyone's like, aha, look at him, he's back to being a bum, even though they were in love with him a week ago and thought he was a hero. Like this, the Rent is Too Damn High guy. I think he's hysterical. Now, I never was on his side or thought he was a good guy. I just thought he was funny to watch. But I just read an interview with him, because he's running for president now. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did hear that.
Now running for president, and as a karate expert, he thinks he has a good shot.
Is that a party now, the karate expert?
No, it's a party. The Rent is Too Damn High party. But you have to be a karate expert to be part of the party. And they asked him, who would be your running mate? And he said, like, Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney. He said, because they would be laughed at instead of him. That's his style. And then the guy asked him, what do you think of Sarah Palin? And he was like, I love her. Sarah Palin's a great American. She can do whatever she wants. And he was like really overboard about how much he loved her. And then people were saying, ah, fuck him then. I'm not on his side anymore. I don't think he's great. And I'm like, what? Why? You were so down with him before, but because he likes Sarah Palin now, you think he's a douche? He was crazy from the beginning. He's a crazy old man and wore gloves inside. He was crazy. Now, all of a sudden, because he likes Sarah Palin, you think he's an asshole? I think you're the asshole.
It's not new information that he's a crank.
Yes.
Right.
And, I mean, the fact that he likes Sarah Palin is
the only thing that's remotely a question is he a secret genius? Because he might be, right?
Well, yeah, I think just about anybody could be a secret genius.
Not you.
I was going to say except you.
Yep, but I got in on it because I'm a genius.
Really?
Yep.
Did anybody know that about you?
I try to keep it under wraps.
Oh, okay. Here's the last thing I wanted to bring. Oh, by the way, who watches Fringe? You watch Fringe, right?
No.
Really? Mm-mm. What? You're a nerd. How do you not watch Fringe?
There's a lot of things I don't watch.
It's a great show. And you never watched Twin Peaks, right, Tom?
Right.
So you watch Fringe, but not Twin Peaks. So nobody here caught the Twin Peaks shout-out in last week's Fringe, then, I guess.
I guess not.
when Walter puts on those glasses where one's red and one's blue, remember that?
Uh-huh.
It was a Christopher Lloyd episode. He says, I got these from my friend Dr. Jacoby, who lives in Washington State. There's a character on Twin Peaks, Amber Tamblyn's dad, Russ Tamblyn, always wore these glasses where one was red and one was blue. His name was Dr. something Jacoby. But, that's weird. Out of five people here, I'm the only one who gets it? I must be like a TV expert, or maybe a secret genius. Here's the last thing I wanted to bring up. I saw an interview with Carrie Fisher, and you guys may have seen this. Someone was, you know, I'm sure it was on a tabloid, but someone was saying, look how fat Carrie Fisher is. That
looks
was
like
the story.
Elton John.
No. No.
That's what somebody said about her.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they might have been talking about Elton John, though. Like, they said, look, Carrie Fisher had a kid with this guy on the cover of People magazine, and she's so fat, she looks like Elton John. And they're like, no, that's Elton John, dude. Right?
Oh, Elton John, you let yourself get a little bit better. What are they?
Well, but it was like they were comparing her to Jabba the Hutt. They were like, now Princess Leia looks more like Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, look what they did. They
see how funny that is?
Figured out a way to...
But someone asked her about it, and she like kind of fought back. And she's like, you know what? Yes, I'm kind of fat. I've certainly aged. I'm no longer Princess Leia. But come on, I'm not Jabba the Hutt. Why you got to be so cruel? And it
maybe a Gamorrean guard, maybe.
Nice. But I thought it made me think. Yes, she is certainly, you know, fat. But I don't. I think she's average for a woman her age.
Yeah,
but
for her age, I'm, you know.
Yeah, she's
take a look at the rest of the
exactly.
World.
She's no fatter than anyone else her age or her stature, whatever.
Well, she's fatter than some people her age.
But the question is,
secret
how many of us here would still throw one into her?
Oh, of course.
I totally would.
Yeah, of
today.
Course.
Danforth?
No, you can have it.
You'd pass.
I don't have that Princess Leia hard-on.
Well, I'm not saying just because
of
Princess Leia. It's also curious. It's the chick
from
the chick from Under the Rainbow. How do you not want to bang the chick from Under the Rainbow?
Honestly, the only time I've actually been attracted to her was in Shampoo, when she was kind of slutty.
Oh, she was good in that movie. Yeah, that's...
But yeah, I never... Linda Carter was my thing. I never was attracted.
And Linda Carter still
I was
looks
never attracted
awesome.
To Princess Leia.
Okay, Tom? I know this isn't a topic you like to discuss, but if you had the chance to have a secret dalliance with Carrie Fisher, would you take her up on it?
As stands now, probably not.
Really? Even if she was like, I got a thing for twin beds. Would you... She's like, you know what? Something about guys with ponytails and single beds really turned me on.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
And Paul wants to emphasize, by the way, he's not making fun of you.
No. I'm saying that's your hook to get ladies. Because how many other dudes have a single bed?
There's no ridicule at all. You just relax. He's not... He, every single time, says he's not making fun.
And I'm not. I'm not.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Well, that's funny. Mike, what about you? Would you still throw one into Carrie Fisher?
Yes, I would.
Without a doubt?
Yeah.
What about...
It'd be doggy style, but I would, yeah.
It would have to be backdoor? Okay.
He's figured out that much.
Okay. He's gone that far. He's gone in that much detail. Well, who is someone like... Like, Linda Carter, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. She still looks awesome.
She
still is gorgeous and has a great body.
Jimmy Carter.
Rosalind Carter. Billy Carter.
No.
Well, who is, I'm trying to think.
Aaron Carter.
Gray? The kid at the birthday party song?
Nick Carter's brother. Ah! Oh, shit. Yes, Erin Gray is who I'm talking about. Now, I've seen her around town. I see her at the Has-Been Festival, and she's certainly lost a step. Have you seen her lately? Oh, maybe I'll
look. Are you talking about that convention where everyone goes and signs their old 8x10s?
Yeah. I see her there all the time.
Is it officially called that? Because everyone I know that refers to
the Hollywood Has-Been Festival? No.
Everyone calls it that.
No. Some people call it the morgue.
Yeah.
But no.
Because they advertise it as, like, hundreds of celebrities, but they don't actually bother to say, like, from TV shows from the 70s.
Well, if they have a big star, like, I remember one year I was there and they had Kim Novak and Rod, the guy from The Time Machine. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. They ripped the George Powell Time Machine.
Yeah. Because they're really old. But they have a million people there, and some, like, the chick who plays Greedo is always there.
Yeah.
And it's
wasn't
like,
that, like, Lucas's secretary or something?
Yeah, she wasn't an actress, because she didn't do anything. She just sat there in that green mask. Okay, here's Erin Gray from back in the day. Pretty hot. And now here's her a little later. You know, she's aged
a bit. I think I've seen her at, like, Comic-Con, like, past her signing booth and stuff. Yeah, she's...
But I saw her, last time I saw her, I was actually at a birthday party, and she was there with her kid, and, oh, here's a picture of her nude. Is that Photoshopped, do you think?
Probably.
You think so?
Doesn't matter if it works. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, that's true. If it works, it works. Well, because I saw her and she had like really short hair and she had stopped coloring it. And
ooh, that could work.
Yeah.
I'm a seasoned, mature lady.
That's what I'm saying. Her hair was all salt and pepperish.
Nice.
She's a dude now.
Yeah, she had a wiener. What about like, so there's no one that you would throw one into just for the sake to say, like Oprah.
Like for the story?
Yes. To tell everybody, hey, I banged Oprah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody. I don't know if it'd be Oprah.
What about Gail? Maybe Gail.
I don't even know what Gail looks like, or if it's a man or a woman. I know it's somebody.
He's talking about Gail.
It's some satellite person to Oprah, right?
Yeah,
someone in Oprah's world.
Yeah.
They say they're lesbians together. That's the latest porno I got. The untrue Hollywood story of Oprah and Gail from the Hustler folks. No good. I'm gonna put that as a thumbs down. By the way.
I'm trying to think. I do have weird ones, though.
Not one of your favorite things?
No, but everyone here in the house got a copy for some reason. What's... You're big on Star Trek.
Yeah.
What about, like, Yeoman Rand?
Well, who? What?
Kate Mulgrew.
Is that her name?
Yes.
No.
But what about Yeoman Rand? She's certainly old.
Yeah. I mean, she was old in Star Trek 2.
That's what I'm saying. She's... Yeah. No.
I'm not being ageist. Nichelle Nichols now or then?
Now. Of course, we'd all do it then.
Sure.
Who wouldn't do it?
Seven of Nine now. I mean, because...
Yeah. Jerry Ryan's so old and nasty.
I think like sex, you know, it's about a connection between two people.
Oh, maybe I'm asking the wrong question.
It's not something
then.
That should, you know, you should be able to
put on your blog. Okay, who would you make dinner? Blog. Would you make dinner for Carrie Fisher?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but we have to make such a big dinner, though.
I want to talk about
right? Well, no, you just give her some frogs, therapy. Right? Isn't that what she eats? Because she's Jabba the Hutt, just a bowl of live frogs.
Oh, man.
Right? And she counts the points because she's on that system now. She's because that was the article you read, right? Because she's going to work for Jenny now.
Oh, is she? Yeah. I didn't read it. You know I didn't read anything.
No, that's right. You need it on to be read to you.
She has one frog for breakfast, one frog for lunch.
And then a sensible frog dinner. For dinner.
And a blue-green shake for dinner.
A sensible frog. A real smart one. All right.
Like singing one, right?
Yeah. Hello, my honey. All right. I don't have any more topics to bring up.
Well, I don't know how far this will go, but I'm just curious if any of you have an opinion about this Skins nonsense.
Well, yeah. I will say it. I'm sure you've seen the English version, right?
No, but I know there is an English version.
Before it started, I heard a lot about it. And over the Christmas break, Brooke and I were looking for stuff to watch. And I said, hey, we should check out Skins. I hear it's great. So we watched like the first three episodes of the English version, and it was pretty good. And, you know, it was certainly outrageous, but as far as English TV goes, I didn't think it was any more outrageous than some of the shit they do. You know, they're having sex, they're using drugs, they're doing shit that teenage kids do, not all teenage kids, but some teenage kids, but also they were in England. And it was like clear, you know, this one kid who's the lead kid, his parents are fucking dickheads and they let him get away with whatever.
Oh, you know what? I did watch the English version now, too.
And also...
Because Mary Jo thought it was great.
And also, because of their society, it's like, you know, they go to different schools and all that stuff.
Drink
so
tea.
It made more sense them. And also the drug thing, obviously it's easier to buy and do drugs over in England because less people give a shit about
right.
it. So it wasn't such a big deal. But I thought, boy, the American version of this isn't going to be very good. And then I watched the first episode, and it was like word for word, exactly the same, line for line. And I thought, this sucks. There's no way this works. Because
I thought they like had the kids help out writing the scripts or whatever. Like I read an article.
The first episode was almost
maybe
exactly the same.
Maybe they had the kids help transcribe.
Well, they changed it. They're like, torch means flashlight.
Yeah.
Flat means apartment, they were telling them all. But I thought, this is really disturbing, and I could see why people wouldn't dig it. I could see why people would watch it in America or kids in America would watch it and go, I love this. I want to be these kids. You know, obviously that's not going to work.
See, the American one was stilted because it was word for word or what was wrong with
I was saying it was less believable and less enjoyable to watch because as an American
parent. It
didn't
ring true as.
Yes, because I know there are kids like that in America, but A, there aren't as many.
Yeah.
B, it's not as celebrated here in America, and it's not necessarily something to be proud of. Right. It's, you know, and And it's not as easy to do. These kids, you know, their parents are barely in their lives, and yet they still go to school and they have a place to sleep, you know. And it's more like, it reminds me of, like, you know, just one of those shows, those teenage idiotic shows like Saved by the Bell or whatever, where the kids just fucking do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, those kids on Saved by the Bell didn't even have parents. Yeah. They talked about their parents, but they never appeared on the show. You know, and it was like that. And, of course, Saved by the Bell and those shows were complete fantasy.
Right.
But this Skins is supposed to be more reality. So that's what it made me think of. It was like, it's completely unbelievable to buy it. And I guess a lot of people thought that, except for kids. I think, you know, MTV made a mistake because the show appealed to kids of the same age.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Well, and then the other thing that I'm hearing that I find sort of interesting as a sort of free speech issue, even though it's a stupid free speech issue, but oftentimes people do want to say stupid things, is the fact that it's, what I've been reading, and do you think this is true, that it does seem to be running very close to what our child pornography laws are in as far as depictions go. Because that's one of the things people are disturbed by, like people who get disturbed by these things, is that like MTV made a point of casting very close to the ages to begin with. Mm-hmm. So if there's a character that's 16, the person playing it is awfully damn close. Maybe is even 16. I'm
right.
Not sure, but a lot of those characters. So now those characters, like, people get arrested for having drawings of underage that are
right.
Explicit depictions. People can get arrested for that.
Well, and also,
like you've got a record.
Yeah, they're coming to get me now. But in a lot of the pornos I get from Hustlers, some of them are like, you know, like the Saved by the Bell one or the 90210 one. These characters are kids, but they always make, like, the characters will make sure they say, well, look, we're 18 now. And they basically make a point of saying, these characters aren't the same as on the show. They're all 18. Even though, obviously, the actors and actresses are 18, because
right.
They have to be, but they even make a point of saying,
but
we're not...
that, yeah, we're not depicting
it's not child
six.
Porn. These all the characters in here are 18, and they
right.
Say they're graduates and whatever, so they're very careful about that. But I think, I mean, obviously, there are teenagers who have sex, and they even show that on, you know, One Tree Hill and shows like that.
But of course,
and it's Facts of Fucking Life.
But
you know?
But of course, within that show, they don't depict it as this gratuitous, awesome. Let's watch, practically letting you watch it. But and of course, I haven't watched Skins on MTV.
But I mean, it's no more. I think it's no more gratuitous than any one of those shows.
So what's the issue? Like, I think you're bringing up like the legality.
I'm curious.
Almost like it's like a union violation. Like, you know, you.
The law's the law.
And can you film a 16-year-old half naked making out with another 16-year-old and put it on TV? I don't.
Because there are groups that are trying to say that
there's the Parents Television Council.
Yeah.
And everybody who's not the FCC knows that the Parents Television Council are cranks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're the people who said, you know,
they're the people
married with children
behind every television protest
yeah,
in the past 15 years.
They'll be the inevitable, you know, this is disgusting and contributing to the delinquency of mind.
Although in this case,
they say that
though,
about, like, every other show that comes on TV.
But yeah. This one, sponsors are actually pulling out. Because, like, you're right, a lot of times anything they say is just, oh, they're saying another thing. But in this case, it seems to actually be affecting, like, this, I actually thought that skit was kind of funny on SNL about it last
yeah.
night.
But yeah, they're pulling it. But I mean, it's not the first time that's happened. It's not the first time it's happened on MTV. And it won't be the last.
No, MTV would not air the show if they weren't confident that it's legal. MTV is part of Viacom. It's a major corporation. They
okay.
have law departments. They have standards and practices departments. They have censors. They wouldn't put the show on TV if they weren't confident they could get away with
it. Yeah, see, my big surprise was when I watched the show, when I watched Skins, I was like, you know, because we had been watching a lot of English stuff. We, you know, I'd love the IT Crowd, and we watched a bunch of those, and then we watched a bunch of like old shows like Red Dwarf and
Love Red Dwarf,
and there was another one, not Spaced, but something else, and so we're just watching a bunch of them, shows that I had heard of but I'd never seen, and the thing is, they all air kind of on the same channel, or they're all available in the same, you know, general area to the same people. When I heard Skins was going to be on MTV, I was like, well, grown-ups don't watch MTV. It's not So clearly they don't even care. This show is it's about kids and it's aimed at kids.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that's cool because basically you're saying, hey, kids, look at these kids doing crazy shit. You're just glamorizing their behavior. And the only reason to do that is to make kids want to live out their fantasies throughout these other kids. Because otherwise it was an interesting portrayal of teenage life in Britain to me.
Yeah.
You know, but showing me these kids in America, it's like, well, I did kind of know kids like that in high school. They were all fuckheads.
Yeah.
You know? And Mike, you were a bad kid, right, growing up?
No.
Not really.
No?
No.
Weren't you the guy who stole a car and then the hood wouldn't come down, and so you went and bought a percolator, tore the cord off it to tie down the hood?
Yeah.
But that's not good.
Why are you going
to
bring that up?
Where's his TV show?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The guy who doesn't even buy rope, buys a percolator and tears the cord off to tie it down.
A coffee pot?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a coffee pot, yes.
Yeah. Is it Canadian or something?
Irish engineering is what it is.
I'll tell you a funny story. My brother...
God forbid, you should buy some rope.
My brother, because I didn't have much of a father. I had a father, but
he only had one leg. That's not a whole father.
Right, no, yeah. One leg and a quarter of a heart. my brother would...
So he was like the Gimpy Grinch.
Right.
It sounds like a miracle he was alive at all.
Yeah. That's what we called it. Well, my brother and my sisters would take care of me, and my brother took me camping one time where we didn't have a permit. So we were camped out in the car in the middle of like a cow field, and in the middle of the night we were surrounded by cows.
That's cool.
And cows from a distance don't seem that interesting, but you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, the fuck are all these cows here? They're really kind of interesting. And then we cooked.
And heavy.
Yeah, we cooked in the...
and heavy, yeah.
And we cooked in the back of the... At the back of the car, had a little thing to cook eggs with, and then my brother almost shot me.
Sweet.
Which is, wow. Because here's gun safety, kids. My brother had a .22, which was like granddad's, right?
Yeah.
And it was just an old gun, and he was pointing it at me, and I, a little kid, said, I don't think you're supposed to be pointing. I've heard you shouldn't be pointing guns at people. And he goes, well, it's not loaded. And I go, but it could be. There could be a bullet somewhere in the gun or whatever. And he goes, and he's getting irritated, and he goes, it's not loaded. And he points it in the air, pulls the trigger.
Nice.
And I was so distraught, I thought, I got to go steal a car and get the fuck out of here.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we've been on the run ever since.
What's funny to me is there's a million cows around, but you're going to shoot him. Why are you aiming at him and not a cow?
They weren't his cows. Yeah. I was his little brother.
That's
you
true.
You had to pay for it.
You had to pay for that cow if you
but
kill
still,
it.
That was such a great trip.
Idiot. Oh, I'm sure.
It was. We had so much fun.
All right. Any other topics? Danforth, is there anything you want to bring up besides Piers Morgan? Any Star Trek stuff you want to talk? What are you watching these days? You still don't have a TV?
Right.
We didn't talk about Doctor Who last time.
Doctor Who. Mike couldn't believe that you don't have a TV.
That's amazing.
But yeah. you have one.
You have
no, I don't.
You have internet though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you could look up 20monkeyfilmworks.com and see what that's all about.
Yep.
20monkeyfilmworks.com. Right. Is that the number 20 or the word 20?
The number 20.
So 20 monkeyfilmworks.com.
Yes, I could.
But you watch shows on DVD and
DVD,
online and stuff
on
through
Hulu,
your computer.
And yeah, a lot of stuff.
Okay. So you want to talk about Doctor Who? Because I just started watching Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
But only the ones that are on the BBC. So basically starting with...
Matt Smith?
Eccleston.
Oh, okay. So you started from the beginning.
I didn't start there. I just watched the ones that they show because they don't show any of the old ones.
Do you like it?
But that's where they started the rebirth, right?
Yeah.
The rebirth was with Eccleston. And it's interesting because I like David Tennant a lot.
Yeah.
I like those episodes and that black chick who's his cohort, whatever her name is. I love her because she's beautiful and she's interesting. I'm not such a fan of Billy Piper. But then I liked... but then the new guy, Matt, what's his name?
Matt Smith.
I'm not crazy about him.
Yeah.
He's weird looking to me. He's got no eyebrows and it freaks me out.
I think he's fine and good, but, you know, he's no David Tennant.
Yeah, David Tennant was really interesting.
Those are hard shoes to fill.
Yes. Now, and you've watched a lot of the old ones.
No, I never did growing up, but it was just like the one British
slash science fiction show that I just was not aware of and I'd never gotten into and didn't know how to... That's the thing I talk about Doctor Who all the time now, and I started to get people going, how do I start? Where do I go?
It does seem like
a lot. If I
want
to watch the show...
Well, it is. I mean, the thing is, it's hard to get old episodes. Because, like, if you want to rent them or whatever through Netflix or whatever, there's so many, you can get, like, seasons, but it's like...
There are a lot on Instant. So I've gone back and I'll just put on, like, an old...
Just watch them randomly.
Yeah.
And it's not like you really have to watch them in order, unless you want to see the order of the doctors. But right. That's almost a random thing anyways.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Now, the other thing, I read somewhere that he does have a finite number of
that's the thing, like,
recharges.
I think at one point they said he has 12 or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But of course, when they get to the 12th one, they'll just figure out a reason to go, oh, well, whoops.
But they're just about there.
We're
going to
run the Zingity Zangity Zoo over him, and then, like, oh, he's got another one. Like, it's a TV show. He's not going to die. As long as it makes money, there'll be a 13th and a 20th and a 300th doctor.
Whoa, the 300th doctor? I don't want to do that. Did you see that episode where the guy thought he was Doctor Who?
Yeah, the Christmas one?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's hard to convey to people what's so good about that show. It's full of robots and werewolves and spaceships and stuff, but they're like this really sweet, nice.
What I find interesting is that aliens will be really weird, but they'll still talk very British. Yeah, they'll have perfect British accents. And
of course, all of our aliens talk American.
Yeah,
so
not
you
all.
You've got to cut.
It's funny because
you've
got
to cut a culture. It's some slack.
I guess so.
I encountered Doctor Who at the wrong age because I encountered Doctor Who. Before I had really become familiar enough with Monty Python, before I had become familiar enough with accents, and at that time I had sort of a Brian McNett feeling about it, which is, this seems weird and different, but not weird and different because it's aliens, but because I just found the English part of it inscrutable, and that was the part where I wish I had been a little older when I first saw it, because I'd probably enjoy it now. But now it's that thing that you're talking about where I'm like, that seems like a lot to catch up on to enjoy it.
It is. Well, it's funny because, you know, the show was off for a long time, and then they rebooted it, and it was a good, 20 years?
I think it had been 14, 15, 16 years, something like that.
Yeah, so they pretty much just started over brand new. And they don't ever reference old doctors. The only time they reference...
No, they do.
Well, don't they say only when they change?
They even show them on screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I remember one time in the TARDIS, he was showing her old pictures. But it's not really that big a deal. It's not like you need to know about the old doctors and what they look like and stuff. But I guess the most popular one was Tom, what's his name?
With Tom Baker.
The scarf and the big nose.
I don't think all the poles and everything. Like, I think Tennant has really...
He took over?
Yeah, I think he's the most popular.
That's interesting. But I guess before the reboot... Tom Baker was
Tom
the guy.
Baker was, the scarf was synonymous.
Yeah, I mean,
right? Someone said Doctor Who, and you pictured the guy in the scarf with the crazy hair.
The scarf and the hat and the hat and the hair. He looked like the bird, Mark Fidrich. It reminds me of a joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Do you want to watch Doctor?
Do you want to watch Doctor Who?
Oh, sure. Let's do that.
All right. That sounds good. Well, which ones?
Whatever you got. You brought it up.
All right. Well, watch some of the originals. I have a whole collection.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, we'll do a marathon. That sounds good, right?
Yeah. You want to order pizza or something?
I had pizza for lunch.
Okay. Well, maybe Chinese.
Really, that's not a great joke. We got to be honest.
I didn't say it reminds me of a great joke.
Could have been edited down. Yeah.
I just said it reminds me of a joke.
Yeah.
I didn't say it reminded me of a great joke.
It's funny how we both remembered the exact same joke.
Anything else? Tom, did you have anything? You don't have an axe to grind this week? Something that shocked and appalled you that you saw?
I've got this friend of mine that keeps making fun of me in public.
Really?
Other than that, I'm doing okay. Yeah.
That's not funny.
It's a real issue for him.
Yeah, put the fucking gun down.
Christ. Well, would you rather I made fun of you for your mustache? Like I do, Jim?
Yeah.
You would, really? Because your mustache looks good. I mean, your mustache and beard looks pretty good, and it always has. But you've had one as long as I've known you, correct?
Yeah.
You've had
okay, so
hair.
Now here's the thing.
That's true, because I grew it pretty much immediately in college. So
yeah. Here's the truth about his mustache and beard. It's impossible to know if it really looks good, because that is as good or bad as Tom looks, right? Because it's exactly how Tom looks.
No, but
you have nothing to judge
him against. Because first of all, as a mustache and a beard, just on itself, it's good because he grooms it You can tell he grooms it.
Grooming. Ugh.
He just like we said about Danforth's, it's shaved, it's trimmed, it's not all over the fucking place. And it doesn't make him look like an asshole. That's the key. It doesn't make him look like an asshole.
Whose beard makes him look like an asshole?
Well, I would say there's someone in this room whose mustache makes him look like an asshole.
See, now you just, you compliment him 1 second and now you're insulting him. That's not...
Well, he has I'm a fan of his beard, but not his mustache. Is that what you're saying?
P.S. Don't take any flack from a dude with a flavor saver, by the way.
Oh, no! This is the first time anyone said... I'll tell you this. I'm playing Pictionary Man with my kids. You guys are familiar with Pictionary?
Is that an app or something, or Pictionary?
Well, Pictionary Man is like...
it's like a little figure you draw.
Yeah, you have a little man, and you could basically draw... You know,
on him.
Shorts on him, so he looks like a surfer, and that's what you're trying to guess.
Okay.
So Gracie's drawing. I'm teamed up with my youngest
that's
daughter, Gracie.
So unfun. The fact that it's three dimensional. How are you supposed to?
It's harder. It is harder.
That doesn't seem fun at all.
But we're teamed up, and she's drawing, and she's drawing stuff. She's drawing a heart, and I'm like, heart something. She's like trying to get me to do it, and then she draws like a patch, and I'm like, what the fuck? And it gets all done, and she goes, it's Soul Patch. I don't even know what that is. And, like, the three of us, Brooke and Zoe, we all go, what? She's like, I don't know what a Soul Patch is. I go, it's this. This is a Soul Patch. What is wrong with you? I've had it your whole life, and you don't know what a Soul Patch is? That's how dumb my kids are. But people love my Soul Patch.
There's no reason a 9-year-old should know what Soul Patch means.
Hey, if her dad has had one her whole life.
And how often do you go, hey, how do you like my Soul Patch?
I say, actually, I do. I say it all the time, but I go, hey, how do you like my soul patch, is what I say. My soul patch is awesome.
Another
and the ladies
that you
love
should
it.
Not get.
Right. Have you ever had any other facial hair besides?
Yeah.
What have you gone with?
I had,
I assume you had a Van Dyke.
I had the Van Dyke thing going on for a while.
Okay.
It was pretty horrible.
Bad? Okay.
Like, I actually am legitimately embarrassed of it. Like, I've thought about putting pictures of it on Facebook to let people make fun of it, but I'm actually too embarrassed.
I had a goatee for a while, and there are pictures of it online when I was...
Yeah, I've had a big, like, a remote goatee controller. Where I would...
Was that when
you... No, the remote time? Controller was... Oh, yeah, that was. But I first grew it for the Satan thing.
Oh, okay.
As Satan and dyed
Monsters
black.
Roast.
For the Monsters right. Roast, which you can see at trousershock.com.
Or on Funny or Die.
Funny or Die. Yeah, I grew that for... And dyed it black. And then I kept it for a while because I was amazed that it was so bushy. But in retrospect, that was bad that I thought it looked good. If I thought it looked good, I was wrong.
Yeah, I think that's my, like, the Van Dyke thing that I had going on. I was really just sort of, like, curious and amazed that I could actually grow it.
Yeah,
I think that's the
right.
only reason I never decided. Yeah, I'm not,
is that,
I'm
is
not
that
gonna
your
grow
excuse?
A full beard. I'm just going to
for
have
the
this.
Mustache?
Yeah.
I've explained the mustache to you. This is, at some point, I said, nah, I'm not participating anymore. The mustache has nothing to do with me. The hair has nothing to do with me. These are the things that nature is doing. Now, I didn't ask for a mustache. It grew in. I'm not a part of it. I don't trim it. I don't do anything with it because I'm not interested in participating in that part of life anymore.
But you shave the rest of your face.
I have to because of what it does. It forces the issue because it does things that would make it impossible for me to hold a job or to be allowed in a grocery store.
His beard makes him drunk.
Yeah. It's because it does this. It does little. It doesn't come in at all.
But I think if you grew a beard, you would look like Greg Allman.
I think if I could grow a beard, I would look like Greg Allman too. But I can't. There's not. This won't happen. There's nothing that
Mike,
happens here.
Mike, you're his brother. Yeah. You have a fine mustache, and you have had one for years.
He also grows a beard, but you know what? Different father.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying, can't you
I've
give
got
him
my
some
mother's
advice?
Mustache.
Can't you help him out? Give him some advice. I mean, isn't that the first thing you did when you saw him? Hey. Nice fucking mustache. Isn't that what you said? I mean, maybe
it
you
is,
said, I love
I
you.
I was sincere. I said, it looks good. Keep it.
Really?
Yeah. No, you guys have a
it's not like it's not like he looks good without it. So he
no,
might as well.
But he certainly looks better. And it's all relative, but still, you
I'm just
look
supportive. You know, he wants to be a comic and he's still working at it.
Okay. So you think that makes him funnier? Like, I guess your idea is anything.
I'm just supporting him.
Anything to make him.
Yeah.
To make him, you know, not kill himself.
Look, here's what I say about hair. This is a thing that I've discovered.
Great musical.
Yeah.
If you have really short hair, it's awesome because in the morning when you get up, you don't have to comb it usually. If it's short enough, you don't have to do anything to it. There's a point in the middle where you have to do a lot of combing. Now my hair is so heavy that if I just get up a good 20 minutes early, it'll eventually mat itself down and I didn't have to participate. And that's a part of my life that can be separate. And you guys with your combing and your doing, enjoy. Enjoy all of that nonsense.
You guys with your combing and your grooming and your teeth brushing.
No,
and your,
no, see the cleanliness.
Deodorant wearing.
I wear deodorant. The cleanliness is not an issue. Pruning? I'll say pruning.
Primping?
Primping. I don't want to be part of that for a while because part of it was that in January, I just got very depressed. And then when the depression was more or less over, I'm not really depressed anymore. Now I'm just sad. Look in the mirror and I go, all right, cool. That's.
But, I mean, you got to understand that if you ever run into Carrie Fisher, there's going to be less chance of you having sex with her because of that mustache.
I don't think that's true. I think there's going to be more. Like I said, there are certain ladies who are going to be like, hey, skeevy. Skeevy guy.
And you think Carrie Fisher's down with that? She married Paul Simon.
Exactly. Pretty skeevy.
He looks all 70s. A reminder of her, her youth.
Yeah.
When she was hanging out with Penny Marshall and John Belushi and doing all those drugs.
Yeah.
All right, I guess so. All right, well, that's certainly enough horse shit for this show.
Wait, Mike, what are you watching on TV?
What do I watch on TV? Mostly we just watch Netflix.
There you go.
Just watch movies these days because you've seen everything?
Yeah.
You're so old, you've seen all the TV?
Yeah, I'm just heavy into movies, like 20monkeyfilmworks.com.
Yes, 20monkeyfilmworks.com. Do they have some great movies that you've made on there? Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. Oh, okay. Well, it's good that you're doing it now so people go on there, see nothing, and then don't ever go back.
Right.
That's perfect. All right, Danforth, do you want to tell people about anything you're working on or a place they can see your work?
GeneandDanforth.com.
Oh, that's right, the Gene and Danforth
Comedy
Show.
Podcast, yeah.
It's very funny. I listen to it. I enjoy it. You did one the other day where, like, an alien, you did a skit where, like, an alien came to Earth.
The oranges one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
Oh, thanks.
I liked that.
I was really worried it was too long, so that's...
No, that's one of the reasons I liked it. Right. And what do you do for a living? I just realized I don't know where you work.
I'm a copywriter.
For?
For GoldStar.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What is GoldStar.com?
It's like half-price tickets to theater and sports.
I get emails from them all the time.
Oh, okay.
And events.
Is that... You like that gig?
Yeah, it's good.
Nice. All right. Anybody else want to plug anything?
No.
Tom? No? You sure?
Yeah.
Or again, your last chance to vent or say something about anything that's going on? Some show you watched on the antenna? What? I just said the antenna.
Oh, right. Like, I don't know what conversation you're referencing.
Wow. You see, now you're a little too sensitive, I think.
Right.
You're being too sensitive
about
it. No,
yeah, you're not doing anything at all.
I'm not.
I do want to say that I think NBC, has their three-hour comedy block has two of the best hours of comedy on TV.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, no, oh. Perfect. Yeah, I did want to mention Perfect Couples. I've watched, like, three episodes now, and... There are parts of that show I really like, but I think that the problem with the show is that two of the couples are clearly insane and they're too similar.
Yeah,
like the volatile couple and the like crazy perfect couple come across as the same kind of impulsive and insane. And they're not different enough for the dynamic to really work.
And then the problem is the normal couple spends the entire episode talking about the other two couples and trying to get out of their way so they can lead their normal life. Oh, my brother's so crazy. Oh, my buddy's so crazy. Hey, why is your crazy brother here all the time? It's fucking irritating.
Right.
And then on top of that, Olivia Munn is playing a character that's nothing like the person everybody already loves.
That doesn't bother me. Like
it bothers me.
A number of people have said that they think she's miscast, and like that couple, I like her and her husband and their particular like insane version of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I actually find pretty interesting. It's the other couple, like the couple that's always fighting. They mm-hmm. don't really work for me, and I think I don't like the way the characters are written. I don't think it's the performances. I don't like the way they're written. But then also they just because both couples end up seeming impulsive.
Yeah.
They seem too similar. And I, the guy in the regular couple, I actually really like him. I think he's given a really good performance in this, particularly this past episode. I thought he was really funny.
Did you like him on that Alyssa Milano show?
I don't think I watched him on that Alyssa Milano show.
Or The Worst Week. He was the star of Worst Week. He was the guy having The Worst Week.
Right. I only watched one episode of that, but I liked him on it, yeah.
He's good, but, yeah, I think the show is not good enough. And, I mean, granted, it's got the odds stacked against it because you're going to compare it to The Office and 30 Rock and Parks and Rec. And,
yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of good shows on that night.
Yeah, it's hard to sit through that.
And I don't think it's a good fit with Community either. Like, I don't... Like, Community and that show don't seem like they complement each other.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
I totally
don't.
Agree. I don't even watch it. I watched... Yeah, that one I didn't even watch twice. I couldn't sit through it the second time. I said, fuck it.
Well, there was some... There was parts of this Thursday's episode I thought were really funny. But just in general, the show, I don't think the dynamic is working.
I agree. All right. Well, that was an hour and a half of horse shit. No one else has anything else to say? GeneandDanforth.com. 20 Monkeys. What's it called? 20 Monkey Productions.
20 Monkey Filmworks.
20monkeyfilmworks.com. And, of course, my website, thekingoftv.com. Oh, I never asked the trivia question for this week.
You
didn't? No, I talked about last week's trivia question, but I never got to this week's. It's about American Idol. Here's a question really quickly. Who was the first mentor ever on American Idol? You know, they always have mentor weeks.
Barry Manilow.
Nope. Good. That's a good guess, though. Danforth?
Billy Joel.
Nope. I think he might have been on once. Mike?
Glenn Campbell. I saw that episode.
No, that's not correct. You were thinking of the movie True Grit.
That's right.
That's what you saw. Tom, you got a guess?
Nope.
Okay. So if you have a guess that you think is correct... Write to Paul at thekingoftv.com, and you may or may not win a prize. All right. Well, let's do the mashup and get out of here.
All right.
We're not worrying at all anytime we hear that call. Here I come to save the day. That means a mighty mouse is on his way.
Okay, cut. That was a great scene, Jim Carrey. That's wonderful. Hey, I didn't even see you come in. We're taking our lunch break here and we're having a craft services for the movie. Oh, I got to tell you, I don't like a lot of the fatty food you get in the craft services. It's depressing and we all want to eat healthy, right? Am I right? That's why I invented this. Take a nice chicken breast and you put it out here. And it comes with some spicy, some of my own secret spices that you can put on the chicken. And it's absolutely delicious. Chicken and you can keep beef. Say you're a vegetarian, you can even use it with a vegetarian. And you're going to like this. It comes with this attachment. And the attachment, you can skewer vegetables and put it in. You can't get on that on some of the other products that are offered. But here, you can cook the vegetables, and it's solar powered.
Why are you doing it like Michelle Bachman? We're all over to your right, and you're looking to the left.
Because that's where the camera is.
Yeah, well, why don't you just pretend the camera's to us so we can at least see and hear you? You're looking where there's nobody. You got three guys on your one side.
I'm not the guy who set up the camera.
Does anybody have any idea what this is? Because I know it. Anybody have any clue? The first thing was he was the director on the set of Man on the Moon. You got that, right?
I got that, but I can't. I can't remember who directed Man on the Moon.
I can. Is that will that help?
Yeah. And then he's talking about this thing he has to cook food that.
Why do you
be really fat-free? Because
that doesn't make sense.
Well, because he doesn't know what
I was.
He doesn't know what where the actor's from. He doesn't know what nationality the director's from.
No, that's the closest I can come.
I don't know if I understand how this game works because I.
Well, go ahead. Guess what you think it might be.
I don't know how. Because is it Milos George Foreman?
Yeah, that's close. I think it's the Milos Foreman Grill.
Right.
It's the Milos Foreman Grill. I need the names. Gotcha.
It's a commercial for the Milos Foreman Grill.
Gotcha. I like the. Great job acting, Jim Carrey.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a break from directing now.
That's what he said on this. I was an extra in that film, and
also,
I will tell
Italian,
you.
Wasn't Italian, right? That was, what is he?
He's
Japanese line.
Ha! I'm not the opening line, but I'm the first. It's very close to the beginning when he's performing for his sister, And he goes, the cow, or the lion goes, and they close up on my face and go, roar! If you watch Man on the Moon, you cannot miss me. But actually, I wasn't an extra. I got a bump for that movie.
Were you still in the crowd? I still get checks. I don't remember.
First scene where Andy is an adult and he's playing in that dive bar.
Okay.
And you were at the bar.
Yeah, I'm at the bar. And I actually got directed by Milos Forman. It was very nice.
Two chicks, right?
Very nice. No.
Just, you're alone?
Yeah, I'm alone.
Again?
Yeah. Naturally. He says, Milos Forman said, you are like, you have a lot of vodkas, you are at the bar.
You have a lot of vodkas.
And you open your eyes. Then he was like, okay, everybody, we're going to go back to acting now. I go behind the camera and you start the acting when I say action. Okay, Jim Carrey? Okay. All right. That's what he said. all right. Well, that was terrible, but thank you.
That's pretty funny, though, right?
No. That's what I meant by terrible.
Come on, guys.
No. All right. We got some great guests coming up next month. Not that this show wasn't great.
Does the George Foreman girl have attachments?
Well, it's got
no, the Milos Forman does, though. I imagined he did a slightly different thing where you had a vegetable attachment.
Well, it's a place that you can put your Oscar. It's an attachment. You just put your Oscar right next to it. All right. We got some great guests coming up next month. Jimmy Pardo, Mike Schmidt, Sam Levine.
Pardo's on the show. Nice.
Yeah. Some great stuff. So you want to stay tuned. And please don't forget to go
home. I'm the king of TV. The king of TV. I'm the king of TV. That's me. King of TV.